1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Coco Gauff is out at the Olympics. She was eliminated in the third round in Paris by Croatia's Dana Vekic. Gauff argued with a chair umpire about a call at one point. Play was delayed for several minutes. She was in tears, ended up losing the match. The Senate expected to pass the first meaningful legislation in a decade aimed at protecting kids online. The move coming as a new study says about a third of children feel pressure by social media to be perfect.
Girls were about 14 points more likely than boys to feel the need for perfection. While social media has been linked to the ongoing youth mental health crisis, Congress has not enacted meaningful legislation to protect kids online in more than a decade. But today, the Senate is expected to pass two bills aimed at online safety.
ABC's Andrea Fuji. Shock and grief in Northwest England. A 17-year-old in custody charged with murder following that stabbing attack that now left three children dead. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Scientists in Wisconsin are testing a possible new treatment for Parkinson's disease. UW-Madison doctors say brain grafts in monkeys have shown promising results. They say motor skills improved and symptoms of anxiety and depression were reduced. Wisconsin Democrats are calling the latest attempt to amend the state constitution a Republican power grab. Governor Evers says people should vote no on the two questions. They'd require lawmakers' approval when governors move to spend money from Washington. Evers says it would have been bad during the pandemic.
The Republicans took a 300-day vacation during the pandemic, didn't come into session. So what would I have done during that time? Nothing. I could not have responded with the money that was there.
The fall primary is August 13th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Farmers Union is taking a clear stand on the upcoming constitutional questions on the August 13th ballot. A press release from Executive Director Julie Keown-Bomar says both constitutional questions are designed to limit the power of the governor to distribute federal funding. The Wisconsin Farmers Union, Wisconsin Democratic Party, the League of Women Voters, and the Wisconsin Faith Voices for Justice are all encouraging people to vote no on both amendments. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business lobbying group, and the Badger Institute, a conservative think tank, are supporting the amendments. Reconstruction on East 7th Avenue in Oshkosh has closed a portion of South Main Street through the end of the day Friday. The Oshkosh Department of Public Works says motorists and pedestrians should expect delays and plan alternate routes due to construction. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Trade deadline coming up tonight, and the Brewers sending outfielder Joey Weimer and pitcher Jacob Junis to the Reds for right-hander Frankie Montas. 9 years in the big leagues, 19 starts this year for Cincinnati, an ERA that started out at 3.56 but has risen into the fives. Meanwhile, just as the crew gets back Devin Williams as the closer, Trevor McGill goes on the 15-day IR. Manager Pat Murphy.
Breaking news, Trevor McGill on the IL. Lower back. He's been dealing with it for about 5 days. He'll get an MRI this afternoon. That's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Brewers last night with a nice 8-3 win at home over the Braves. Home runs by Hoskins, Adames, Churio. NFL Packers back on the practice field today in Green Bay. The Badgers football team begins training camp for the next 2 weeks at UW-Platteville.
Well, I think it's first and foremost, it's about getting away. To really get them to, you know, get to know each other and a lot of things even a little deeper.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and humid. Our high in the mid to upper 80s today, upper 80s tomorrow, with a heat index 90 to 95 or better each day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of the music podcast Rock Solid, Pat Francis, and Madison stand-up comic Mike Mercury joins the show to discuss Madison Comedy Week.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams and Sandy the Music.
Yeah, Olympic theme music. Calvin, was that the Olympic theme music for Barcelona 82, 92, or what? Which was that?
That was 1988.
Oh, that was hand-in-hand, Korea, the Seoul Korea Olympics.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Tom from Richland County. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, good morning. You know, the DEI has been a big issue these days, and I got to tell you, my wife and I are watching the Olympics yesterday, and on the women's gymnastic team for the United States, there's a black gal who's probably the best she's ever been, who had some troubles and came back. Great success story. There was a gal who was some version of a Latina, and a skinny white girl, and another gal I believe was Asian. Regardless, I'm forgetting which ones, but it was a complete melting pot of America. And
yeah.
So then we watched the men's, and it was the same exact thing. A short guy who was Asian, a tall, skinny kid, looks like a computer nerd, a guy who broke his bones so bad they thought they'd never be able to walk again, and then a guy from Poland who wanted to, whose parents came here because they wanted some freedom. And it's like, you talk about America. And so let's all applaud that. And then at the same time, say Kamala's no good because she's DEI. Give me a break.
Thank you very much for the call. But I mean, that really is what the template of what this nation was supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
People from a melting pot, people from the whole human family, in one nation.
Yeah, and for some reason, people are talking about America as if today we're falling apart. I've never heard an enumeration of how it is that American society is falling apart, except the Republican platform seems to be premised on that proposition. I heard Lindsey Graham yesterday talking about how horrible the situation was and that electing Donald Trump would get us out of the terrible situation we're in today. There's nothing terrible about today's situation. There's nothing terrible about the economy. It's all very positive. More positive than it was during Donald Trump's period in terms of growth rate in jobs, in terms of growth rate of the GDP, in terms of all indicators, numbers of jobs created. That we have inflation at a lower rate than the rate of growth of income over the past year. So we've had real wage increases occur during this time period. Everything is good. So then I have to ask people, well, what is it that you think is bad about the current situation? And I'm afraid it all drops into the category of sort of tribalistic fears about the pathway that our culture might be taking. And when they talk about DEI, I think they're saying it all. I think the dog whistle is now audible.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, I guess that what people are missing with the DEI is this. It's, you know, obviously it's controversial because it doesn't base it on merit. Merit is what we have usually used for everything. And if you look at professional sports, and I would point this out, does Major League Baseball, does basketball, does football, do they use DEI? No, they do not. It's all based on skill and what they offer and what they can do. And so I would just say that we have to go back to, I understand you want a certain makeup of people for certain things. But it really comes down to merit. We have to go to a merit system. We're getting away from that.
Hey, David.
And that's the bigger point.
Hey, David, are you unaware of the history of this nation? And that you want to go back to a time when merit didn't always count? Well, you know, in this nation, there was a time when merit didn't always count, David. And so, you know, as a person of color, I know I've lived through times when merit didn't always count. Okay? And so when I hear people say, let's go back and, you know, we can't do this, you totally dismiss what created the environment that brought on DEI in the first place. You know, generations of people who didn't get a fair shot in this nation, David.
Well,
and I would also venture to say that diversity, equity, and inclusion doesn't mean that the person is not qualified.
Well, I think DEI can be administered in all different kinds of ways and how it gets implemented. But I think David's right that merit is obviously a very fundamental driving force behind decisions that need to get made. But for instance, universities have always looked for diversity, if only geographical diversity, okay? I mean, when I went off to college, I think I was one of very few that went from Wisconsin out to Boston to school where I went. And people were, they were looking for people to bring them from, because they wanted to have students from all over the country. That was kind of the version of diversity back then. And they wanted to have people from all different cuts of life as well, because that made for a different experience in school and a much better one. And so, you know, it isn't true, I don't think, that DEI is necessarily mutually exclusive with merit, because merit can be measured in a variety of ways. It has to do with what you bring to the table, okay? If you bring something of value to the table, that's merit. And so, you know, I think that the problem is that I think that DEI has become a term that has been used by those who oppose it to mean something different than actually it means in its process of being implemented. There are plenty of organizations across this country, financial houses, all kinds of places that are using the concept of DEI because they realize that if they don't wake themselves up to make sure that they give everyone a real look, regardless of what kind of background that person has, they're going to miss some cream. And they're not going to have all the value and quality that they might otherwise have.
Well, you know, Sandy,
and so you know, it's been a beneficial thing for the organizations, and it's why they've continued to use it, because they have found value and they have found merit by making sure that they don't exercise bias in their process of hiring.
But if we didn't live in a racistic society, there would be no need for DEI. I mean, that's just what why DEI came into focus in the first place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think right. organizations recognize that they might there might be an inherent, implicit, and latent bias in the way they viewed their personnel. And by making sure that they didn't exercise any of that bias, they have found that they have achieved merit and quality in the way they have hired people.
David, quickly.
So I just want to remind Sandy, Asian Americans sued your former alma mater because Asian Americans were not accepted because so many of them were actually, as far as academics were concerned, were basically there was too many of them.
I understand that, and I was fully aware of
that's the exception.
Fully aware. DEI as implemented is always going to cause people to wonder whether it was exercised in a manner that didn't give their merit full analysis. It is true that it's become much different and harder to get into the hardest to get into schools in this country. Okay, and it seems like it's hardest for maybe middle and upper middle class young white people to get into these schools, and they're scratching their head and wondering why. And some of that probably has to do with the fact that the pool of applicants that these schools are viewing as qualified has become larger because of their decision to include in that pool a broad array of people that were not otherwise included in the past. And they are finding merit in measurements of things that don't necessarily get reflected in a GPA, a grade point average, or don't necessarily get reflected in an ACT score. And so, yes, it's become difficult and complicated. And I understand why many people who've been on the wrong side of admissions, for instance, to school, might be upset and worried about how these standards got applied against them.
I would say the playing field has never been level. And so to talk to a whole group of people who were discriminated against in the first place and then say, hey, well, there's some other people who feel discriminated against. We can't correct it by discriminating against, these people. But we're going to forget that a whole group of people were discriminated against all of these times. And we're going to omit that because there's some others who are feeling bad. Is not acceptable based on what transpired historically in this nation. Thank you very much for the call, David. Let's go to Brendan. Brendan, good morning. You say what?
Can we finally stop with the slow roll of explanation of DEI to people that are just using it as a Republican name tag? I mean,
that's
come
it.
On. This is Kamala came along. First it was Sleepy Joe, now it's DEI because they're all shaking in their boots because you got a qualified candidate who's really sparking a lot of excitement here in the country, and so she's a DEI candidate. That's where this all started. These people know what diverse all this is about, but they're just using the word casually. And by the way, if you want to talk about merit, let's talk about the merits of Project 2025. You guys are in Wisconsin. Has anybody read the farming section of 2025 and what they plan on doing to the farmers in this country?
I mean, hey, Brendan, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. All of you guys hang on the lines. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. on abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500, not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, you want to respond to the music?
Well, Olympic theme songs. That's the tail end of the Korean Seoul Olympics, 82, I believe it was.
All right, so we're having a conversation about DEI, amongst other things, and you know how it's, to me, has been scapegoated by people who want to anger other people. And so, you know, we get to where we are. Brendan, you were saying something about the farmers. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, they're using this as just a tagline, and then they say they want to talk about the merits of an individual. I'm sorry, but she seems pretty qualified to me. Can we talk about the merit of Trump suing the Michigan Veterans Association so the disabled vets going to a federal building can't register to vote? Can we talk about the merits of Trump himself? No, they don't want to talk about that. And every time somebody calls the station, and I watch you guys every morning, all these people, they act like they've never heard of Project 2025. None of them know anything about it, and they have not a good thing to say about it. And so I beg of you guys, when CJ calls next time, ask him what his favorite part of Project 2025 is.
He doesn't know anything about it.
I'd be interested to hear.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. He doesn't know anything about it. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. You know, so many things to talk about this morning, but I want to go back to what you said a little while ago, Earl, about America being a melting pot of humans. And I thought to myself, you know, how brilliant for our founding fathers to create this melting pot of human using people power. Self-governance. I say that because, you know, when we're talking about the Supreme Court, we're seeing all these weird outcomes. You know, it seems very, very obvious to most of us that there's a big problem. But I want to remind people that in the original conception of the Constitution, they wanted, the founding fathers wanted the judiciary to be the furthest away from, you know, the power, if you will. You know, there's many or there's several examples of Supreme Court, you know, rulings that were ignored by presidents. You know, Trail of Tears and Andrew Jackson comes to mind. They are removed, the furthest removed, because there's a lot of positions that are appointed and not voted in. So somehow we have found ourselves here in America to where the Supreme Court is the law of the land. No, that's wrong. Congress has power over the Supreme Court. Somehow America and the public allowing the Supreme Court to dictate so much when it clearly isn't the purpose of the Supreme Court. Their job is to call balls and strikes. And somehow, you know, we have found ourselves in this position to where they're the ones wagging the dog, the dictating. And what do you mean we can't have accountability standards and ethical reforms for the Supreme Court? Of course we can. And one thing that also is in the plan that Biden has put forward is term limits for Supreme Court. How many times have we heard, you know, term limits is one of the things that we need to begin to look at seriously to, you know, maintain or regain control. So my call today is really about enough of the Supreme Court wagging the dog. It's Congress's job, and we need to demand that our representatives do the work as intended and not punting to the Supreme Court for cover every time.
Hey, Mike, I think that's very well said. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I think the independence of the Supreme Court in terms of it being an independent judiciary who does call balls and strikes is very important. I think we watched Israel and their effort to try and walk that back and put Congress in a position, their Congress in a position where they could overrule the Supreme Court decision regarding the constitutionality of a provision. And they have differences in laws and differences about a constitution, but that would be a very bad outcome in the United States. But I think the fact is that the way the Constitution set up the Supreme Court, it left it to the legislature to decide, number one, do they have lifetime limits or term limits? It was Congress that decided they would get lifetime appointments when they set up that process. It's Congress that decided how many there would be of the Supreme Court members, and it's Congress that would decide whether or not they impeach a Supreme Court member. And so I think that all of the things that have been proposed by Biden are totally appropriate in maintaining the separation of power and making sure that the Supreme Court will be something that calls balls and strikes on as nonpartisan a basis as possible, so that we don't have a partisan Supreme Court, which will be subject to all of the doubts and skepticism that partisan processes are subject to.
But we have a partisan Supreme Court.
Well, it has become.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, we had the Warren Supreme Court that was known as a liberal Supreme Court, and this battle actually went on at the time of the contests over the legality of the New Deal. And we should remember that most of the elements of the New Deal were put through the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had to decide on the legitimacy of the rulemaking processes and the rest of it. So the Supreme Court will probably always be a controversial body, but I think we want it to be a body that is at least as likely as possible to be as neutral as possible.
So in my lifetime, Sandy, I've never seen a Supreme Court as partisan as this one. And maybe that's because there's so many, the imbalance is so telling, right?
When the Warren Court was quite liberal in terms of its headcount, but the difference
well,
was
I said
that
my, I was kind of young, man. I'm talking about
well, the difference is that the country wasn't as partisan, and the court wasn't being presented with as disparate partisan positions as it's now being presented with. I think the last time that they had this kind of disparity with was during the New Deal and the contests that occurred over the passage of the New Deal legislation and then its the judicial review of its legality.
So you agree with Mike that the Congress and the way this thing was all
situated. I think the way Biden has operated is entirely within the law with what he's proposing. I think that Congress does not sit on top of the Supreme Court. That would be what Netanyahu and Israel was trying to accomplish. We don't want that, but we want them to be operating as they should in terms of their management of the Supreme Court.
All right. Hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Education Department is releasing its youth mental health data update today. Many kids say they're anxious or nervous, and it got worse during the pandemic. State Superintendent Jill Underly says schools should offer more mental health services. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting about $1.3 million. The money will go to everything from wetland protection to outdoor education and even kayak launches. This is Governor Evers in a recent weekly radio address.
Unfortunately, many of these communities have also experienced shoreline erosion, flooding, pollution, and everyday harmful effects of climate change and more.
Wisconsin has about 800 miles of coastline. Evers says it's a critical resource for Wisconsin culture and commerce. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Oneida Nation Tribe is getting a federal grant to help fund affordable housing. The Oneida Nation will use the $6 million from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Indian Housing Block Grant to build 16 housing units. Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin will get over $5.2 million to build 11 housing units. The Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin works to help people or families affected with autism find the supports and connections that they need to thrive. Kate Hess is executive director.
What we're trying to do is build a network and a community of people who can support each other. So it's not up to us necessarily to provide a bunch of services for people. It's about connecting people because everybody needs something different.
A golf tournament to benefit the Autism Society is August 13th at Thornberry Creek in Oneida. The registration deadline is today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A good actor or actress will do anything to get the shot. In the case of Jennifer Aniston, that means getting splashed with oil like she did while shooting a scene for an episode of the new season of The Morning Show. Few details were given by the New York Post, which posted photos of her covered in black oil. The Morning Show received several Emmy nominations, including for Best Drama Series and Lead Actress for both Aniston and her co-star Reese Witherspoon. The Morning Show is in its fourth season and airs on Apple TV. Gwyneth Paltrow has lots to say, and it's all important, according to Gwyneth Paltrow. On social media, the Oscar winner said she was confused about Robert Downey's announcement at Comic-Con last week that he will return to the Marvel franchise in The Avengers to play Dr. Doom. Not sure what's so confusing about that. Paltrow played Marvel character Pepper Potts, who was Downey's love interest in Iron Man. She could just be jealous he's seeing other fictional characters. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and humid. Our high in the mid to upper 80s today, upper 80s tomorrow, with a heat index 90 to 95 or better each day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears in your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Thank you.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with the one and only Sandy Williams. Sandy, you're playing the Olympic.
Yeah, that music was Reach Out, which was the theme for the 84 L.A. Olympics, which is the next Olympics after this are back in L.A., so we've gone the full cycle.
And I remember those Olympics were in, what was the name of the place where the Rams used to play their games? Seated 100, the Coliseum.
Coliseum, yeah.
Yeah, the L.A. Coliseum. It's amazing that thing is still standing, and they're still having activities in it.
Well, you know, it used to be that when you built stadiums, you know, the when the Romans built stadiums, they lasted forever.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the Coliseum is. It was kind of configured after.
Right.
Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Charles. You say what?
Hey, good morning, guys. So my question is, I thought there was a difference between DEI and affirmative action. It seemed like what David was trying to say was that, you know, maybe like the Asian students, I thought that was all about affirmative action. I thought DEI was more like maybe there's a rural kid that's never been in the city and decided after high school he or she was going to go to, you know, let's just say UW-Milwaukee, and the diversity, equity, and inclusion program would help them, you know, become more aware of the bigger city. So am I wrong on that, or I'm not sure?
I think it really depends on how it's implemented. The contest over affirmative action was whether something was based on race
or
preference that was unconstitutional in terms of being a lack of equal protection. But DEI, I suppose it depends on how it's administered or what it is. It's a set of initials that and an acronym that could stand for all kinds of different programs. But many, many businesses have implemented something that might call itself DEI for their own purposes because they find value in it and because they're pursuing value and merit through a process of making sure that they open their eyes and don't exercise bias in a negative fashion. And I think that's at the heart of it, many of the programs.
Okay. Just wondering.
Hey, Charles, good question. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan. Susan, good morning to you. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Hi, good morning. I've been listening to you for quite a few days and haven't commented on anything because I find that this is really disturbing that we have these two bickering sides of this country. And we have not seen this since the Civil War, and which made me read some of Abraham Lincoln's letters and what he talked about. And the thing that I wanted people to really understand when they talked about Gettysburg Address, the last part, and I'm going to read this to you, it is rather for us to be here to dedicate the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a birth of freedom, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. And I think people forget that we have fought many wars, and many people of different colors and different races have fought side by side for what we cherish here on earth. And it's disturbing to me that we bring up things such as DEI and other things that are irrelevant to what's going on in this country. This country is based on the Constitution. This country is based on the rule of law. And this country is based of a government of the people, by the people, for the people, So let's move on and let's do what's best for the people of this country.
Hey, Susan, always words of wisdom. Thank you very much. Very much appreciated. Let's go back to CJ. CJ, go ahead.
Wow. Well, thank you again for taking my call, Earl. You know, I guess the policies of voting that you say I'm wrong on, Sandy, is that the Wisconsin Supreme Court bypassed our legislature and offered these drop boxes, things like that. The argument on the Republican side, just like the spending during COVID, they want to continue the spending without going through the legislature and Congress. And that's the same thing that they're trying to do with the ballots and the voting exceptions that were offered for COVID due to that, they want to continue without the rule or the constitutional rule to go through the legislature for those changes. And that's what the president, Trump, is speaking of, that they want to bypass all these rules that are determined constitutionally that the legislature is supposed to vote on. And Wisconsin didn't do that, did they, Sandy? They bypassed it.
They bypassed it during a process of the COVID, of the exigencies associated with COVID. But that bypass was then tested in court, okay? I mean, you can argue about whether you think it was right or wrong, but it was tested in a court, and it was determined to be okay, all right? And so, you know, we have a judicial process that decides matters that are controverted. And whether you like the decision or not, we have to live with them if we want to live in an organized society and a government that works. And you know, so, you know, Trump wants to talk about how he actually won the election. But like I said, he got 70-odd thousand fewer votes than the Republican candidates for Congress got in Wisconsin. So, you know, the votes were counted. The votes were tested. The votes were audited. The contests were run through a judicial process. All of that was determined, and essentially it's done. So why would we keep talking about it? Now, the process ongoing has now been modified. I think the legislature has set up a process, and we have the rules that will be in play for the next election.
And drop boxes have been denoted to be good.
I'm just saying, the process was tested. The decisions were rendered. Why do we keep talking about it, CJ? I don't understand that part.
Well, you, I know Kelvin turns my mic off, but what?
Nobody's turning your, go ahead.
That they could bypass it.
Well, look, it was done, and then it was tested in court, and so it passed muster, okay? So, you know, this is like arguing after you've lost the lawsuit that the court was all wet and that the process was rigged, but it went through a judicial process, which is separate from the legislative process, is separate from the administrative process. We have all three checks and balances in play here, and it all played out.
Well, not unless he believes that the judicial process was rigged itself.
Well,
insanity.
But now we're at the heart of how government falls apart, right? We want on the one hand say that the Constitution protects the Supreme Court as this ultimate law of the land, but on the other hand, we can pick and choose which court decisions we decide we want to believe in.
Well, tell me what court did decide that. Tell me the name of the court.
I don't know the name of the court. The whole process was tested judicially to the hilt, okay? And I can't tell you which element you're thinking about and which court tested it, okay? But, you know, I believe the Supreme Court actually ruled on it. And I think Mr. Hagedorn is the one who broke the tie, and it went the way of approving the election outcome. So I believe it was the state Supreme Court.
Well, again, you said some of those law suits were determine by an audit. I'd like to know what percentage, because that is simply not the case. They didn't do audits. They did recounts of the bad ballots, a recount of unlawful votes.
Well, I didn't say Wisconsin necessarily did an audit, but they did an audit in Arizona. They did an audit in a variety of jurisdictions. They did whatever was asked for and by the candidates with respect to their contests over the election. All of the candidates had the opportunity to contest the elections, and there were a significant number of them that were contested, and all of the contested elections were ruled to be approved. Okay, so I mean, I don't understand why we're still fighting about what happened in the 2020 election. It went through every process that the candidates wanted to bring it through, and it passed muster in every one of those processes.
So, Sandy, it's nonsensical. You're not going to be able to satisfy people like CJ because Donald Trump is going to keep saying that I got robbed. And so CJ is going to keep reaching out.
Which is why I wanted to talk about Venezuela in the beginning of this discussion today, because the civics lesson we have from Venezuela is, see, that's what happens when you destroy the sanctity of the election process. You know, we never had this kind of contest going on for years and years following elections until we had someone who said before the campaigns that he wasn't sure he would trust the outcome. It would depend. That was said before the 2016 election. That was said before the 2020 election.
And he's saying it now.
And he's saying it now.
CJ, you got the last one.
I can dispute much of what you just said.
How can you dispute it? Dispute it, CJ. Dispute it.
Because, again, much of it wasn't determined by the legislature or the courts or a recount. Whether it's Donald Trump questioning it, they want to bypass these rules and just force them and just...
Who is... Wait, CJ. No, wait. This is how we get into you, we, they. Who is the they that wants to bypass all of the rules and do this? Who is the they, and in what states are they operating, and in, you know, under what guise? You know, we have they.
And to what end, Sandy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just think this discussion, when it's done with the backhand and the sweep of a hand, doesn't get us anywhere, because it's really just we, they.
Well, let's let him give us the they. Who is the they, CJ?
The Democrat Party, the Democrat leadership. Yes. And now the Supreme Court.
Well, no, wait.
To ruin democracy.
The Democratic Party wants to do what? They want to pass laws, and that would be the process of the democracy, passing laws. That's the way things happen. That's the way laws get enacted. Well, I'm sorry, you were cut off. You were saying something about the Supreme Court. What about the Supreme Court?
The people want, your party wants political decisions and not constitutional decisions.
Well, now,
that's why they have to pack the court. That's why they're trying to pack the court.
That's why
you want to sidestep the Supreme Court, because you can't win constitutionally.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Thank you very much for the call.
Well, first of all, just to respond, I don't think there has been any discussion. There's been talk by some people of wanting to pack the court. There's been no suggestion that anyone in power in a position to do so is proposing to pack the court. And with respect to constitutional answers, you know, you follow the process. That's what the Constitution requires.
All right. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Jean from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Good morning, guys. I think you're doing a great job. This is an example of throwing everything out in a propagandist, all the propagandists you can in a statement. And it's like throwing everything against the wall to see if something will stick. And so all these different propaganda statements are all different issues. And as long as you get it out there, you got it out there in the people's ears. And you guys don't even get a chance to respond adequately to one of those statements. And it's very frustrating listening to it. And I hope that CJ will listen to your examples and answer questions, because we really want to know how he's thinking. And we really need to address all the different spewed propaganda mega statements that are spewing out there across the airways, because that is not a good thing for democracy. Thank you very much, guys, and
thank
have a
you.
Good day.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Madison. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Oh, hello?
Yes.
This is Dave from Milwaukee.
Okay, Dave from Milwaukee. Go ahead.
I'd like to go back. Sandy had, you know, opened the show and has recently again made reference to the rigged election in Venezuela. And I would like to say that, you know, we should be a little more cautious about jumping to that conclusion. Knowing the history of the United States with its now admitted involvement in the coup against Allende, another socialist leader in Chile in 1973. And I'm wondering if Sandy has more information than the Carter Center, who had people down there observing the election.
No, I didn't say it was rigged. I simply said that the contest was being contested, and that people inside Venezuela as well as outside were pointing at it and saying they weren't sure and weren't certain. That it's a situation in which the election outcome has been cast into uncertainty because of potentially the processes involved with the election. I don't have firsthand. I don't know what the Carter Center has said about it. All I know is that it's a spectacle that we could have here if we aren't careful about how we handle our election process.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much for the call. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, you say what?
Good morning. Great topic, as always. CJ, people like CJ, you all notice when he talks, he has an aggressive voice. It's had borderline anger. The reason he does that is he's been fed all this fear-mongering. One word, fear. That's how the far right lives, on fear. It's so controllable that they actually truly believe getting a 34-count felon for president is a good idea. That has anarchist views. The reason they do that is they're afraid. They're afraid. They think that felon can save them. They don't think a normal politician like Kamala is normal. They think she's an extremist liberal, the worst there's ever been. Absolutely not. The record proves it. But when you're dealing with people that fear, you have to make them realize, what are they afraid of? Is it the immigrants? Is it Kamala? Is it abortion? What are you afraid of? You are afraid of something very serious. That's why he's so aggressive, CJ, in his voice. He's terrified. I'll leave you with that.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Tom from L.A., quickly.
Yeah, I just want to talk for a second about victim CJ, because he thinks he never has time to talk on the air, but he actually talks longer on the air and gets more time than anybody. So CJ, stop with your victimhood stuff, because I thought you Republicans aren't supposed to be big victims. Kamala Harris has won every election by we the people here in California. She had to run for office. When she ran for office, she had to get the votes. Nothing was handed to her. The people where things have been handed to them are people like George War Criminal Bush going to Yale, Don Old Trump getting into the school of his choice. All of these other people, this nepotism that goes on for people to get into schools and all of this kind of stuff, give me a break. And also, it's the Federalist Society. Please let me finish. It's a Federalist Society that the Republicans put together to come up with their candidates for the Supreme Court. It wasn't the Democratic administration that did that. I recommend everyone watch Bad Faith and God Over Country on Prime Video.
Hey,
it'll tell you everything.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Susan, you got the last of it.
Well, all I want to say is that Wisconsin did look at their votes. Voss and I believe his name is Gableman spent $1.5 million going over every vote that was cast for Biden. And people tend to forget that. So we did our due diligence. We made sure that the state of Wisconsin was fair, and we did vote fair.
All right, Susan, thank you very much for the call. We got to leave it there. Sandy?
Well, I think Bill always points out the fact that it's fear that has people so stoked up, and I believe that's right. I think that getting so excited about an election and getting so strident in our arguments has always been premised on the fact that we've been backed into a corner, we think, and we have something to be afraid of. I do think that people ought to unbundle that and look at it and take apart the things that worry them the most so they can understand themselves. Because right now, America is not in a bad circumstance. It's in a very good circumstance. And yet we have a party running for election that is painting a catastrophic present time picture of America that is causing people to think that desperate steps are needed to make sure that the incumbents don't win. And I scratch my head about that. I think people who are feeling their way ought to unbundle their thoughts and figure out what it is that's driving.
All right, Sandy, thank you as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Mattner and Greg Bach on Mattner on Air. See you guys on tomorrow.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Tuesday edition of The Devil's Advocates. We'll rehash President Joe Biden's proposition for the U.S. Supreme Court. Should they recuse? Hell to the yeah.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Mino and the Mayor.
How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? You have those little motors that go in there. Those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does your bird feeder freeze? Does your bird bath freeze?
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
You gave him that as
I
a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it. I want it back.
In the winter, the birds use it as a little skating rink.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.